Coming up on TMS, a very important call.
Numbers are crazy.
Dirty dancing gets dirtier.
Bill Gates can close down the internet?
Lucas finally sees Star Wars.
Santa is not dead.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's a tiny man. No bigger than my marionette, Dick Digit.
I think this is Map Leap Lop Loop.
This is The Morning Stream. Brian, Scott's never told you what happened to your father.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Wednesday, the 9th of December, 2015. Good Lord.
I know.
I do this every
almost
month.
Almost halfway through December, right?
I don't get it. I don't understand the passage of time. I don't get
it. Well, I do.
You know what? Scott Fletcher said it best. Let's pull this up. Hold on. Scott Fletcher said, here we go.
The Morning Stream. Computer, stop the flow of time.
I wish you could. I wish you could, man. It's crazy.
The good news is...
What's the good news? There's good news?
Yep. The good news is that that a second only takes a second, and it no matter what part of the day or what part of your life is, that second isn't any larger or any smaller. It's how you choose to fill it.
I see. So let me now share with you a very important email we got from somebody.
I Brian. Like this too. It does go. It does fit right in with this, doesn't it?
It leaned right into this, like a I don't know, like a
bad pitch,
like Kobayashi at a hot dog factory. Right? So here it is. This is from. Oh, I didn't get his name. Cheers, somebody. Crap. I'm sorry. His name was not on the email. Hello, Jono and Ib. It says here. You have spoken about how big numbers are in the past, like just now. Mm-hmm. To take it further, counting one number per second, 24 hours a day. So if we said 1, 2, 3 every second of the day,
right,
all day long, mm-hmm, to get to a million, it would take us 12 days. Okay, 12 days straight, okay, 24 hours a day.
12 days of doing that.
Yeah,
wow.
12 days, 24 hours. To get to 1 billion, it would take us 32 years. So that's how much a billion is. Think of that.
Wow,
a trillion,
crazy.
It would take us 32,000 years. To get to 1 quadrillion, it would take us 32 million years. And to get to 1 quintillion, it would take us doing that 24 hours a day for 32 billion years.
I don't think I'd be able to stay awake that long.
Yeah.
I think at some point I'd fall asleep counting.
Now, what's funny is, if you want to think about it even further, here's where I go down that hole a little bit deeper.
Sure.
The universe has been around about twice as long, scientists figure, than 32 billion years. Or I'm sorry, twice as, or half of that. So it's been about around of about 15, 16 billion, okay? If the universe had existed for, well, let's say for the last 32 million years, indeed, seconds have ticked on one by one in that very fashion. Nobody counted them.
Mm-hmm.
But for 32 million years, 1 quadrillion seconds were counted. Think of that. At some point, those were seconds that either I existed in, you existed in, people before us existed in, giant dinosaurs existed in, some sort of cave people. They did. Saber-toothed donkeys and stuff, all those
right.
things.
They oh, all, saber-toothed donkeys.
Yeah, they were the, you know, I'm glad they're gone, really. I'm not
those
a big
the most,
yeah.
Those are the most dickish prehistoric animals of all time, with the saber-toothed donkeys
just sitting around going twice the size of your house. It's a crazy right. time to be alive. Anyway, I love numbers, and thank you for him pointing that out. Hey, I love numbers so much. Yesterday I made a commitment toward the end of the longest show in the history of TMS.
It really was, yeah.
I think it was the record.
Thanks jury.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Whatever. I mostly kept egging him on.
You know, there's not a bit that I would take back from yesterday's show.
There's only one tiny bit I would take back, but I won't tell you which bit. You'd have to be guessing. You have to guess which bit I'd take back. Hey, chat room, here's a goal for you. By the end of today's episode, see if you can figure out which bit Scott would take back from yesterday's show. Which part would he not mention? And no, it's not the part where the duck eats my dog's poo. Okay? Not that part. Different part. Okay, Brian, wow. I'm going to call a number. I promised yesterday that I was going to call this. So there's these porta potty unit, John, things around here
because
there's some construction going on. And on the side of them, the phone number is 1-800-TOILETS, which is an awesome number to have.
It is. Yeah. You got to pay a lot for that one.
I like that a whole lot. So what I want to do with you right now is call that number and see what happens.
Call 1-800-TOILETS.
Oh, you know what I don't have, though?
Plastic toilets make your life cleaner.
Wow. Do they, though? Do they?
I don't know.
I don't have the letters. Oh, here we go on my phone. All right. So 1-800-TOILETS would be 8. Where's O? 6. I haven't done this in a while. I. Where's I? 4.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. L would be 5.
Welcome to the new longest episode 3. Of TMS.
Well, where's the T at? T's on 8. Okay, and then you got your S, which is your 7. Okay, yep. So here goes. We're gonna hit enter and add the call. Let's see what happens when we call 1-800-TOILETS. I'm just curious because what's the point of that number? Is it to rent your own?
Yeah, I mean, if you're like a construction guy and you need one of those.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling United Site Services. Your call will be recorded for quality assurance purposes. If you know your party's 5-digit extension, please press 1.
She's saying
If you are calling to place an order or inquire about pricing and availability,
5-digit
extension. Press 2.
Right.
If you're calling about a scheduled delivery, pickup, or service call, or to schedule a pickup, please press 3.
Okay.
If you have a question about your invoice, please press 4.
Okay.
For all other concerns, please stay on the line for the next available customer care representative.
Okay, I'm going to stay on the line.
Sure. We need to find out how much it would cost to get a porta potty at NerdTech.
Yeah. So I'm going to say I've got an event.
Hello? Thank you for calling United Site Services. This is Tarnisha. How can I help you today?
Yes, I found your. I hope I have the right number. We're actually looking for a. If this is the wrong number, this is going to sound weird. But I saw the number 1-800-TOILETS on the side of a a portable bathroom service that they use for construction sites. This is the right number for that?
Yes, it is.
What does it cost to have in Salt Lake City, Utah? What does it cost to have to rent one of those for an off-site event, like an outdoor event?
Okay, I'll be happy to get that information for you. In case we get disconnected, sir, may I have your name and number?
Sure. My name is Scott Johnson. My number is 801-855-2318.
Okay. And Scott, when are you going to be holding the event?
It's going to be next summer, so it'd be in July.
Okay. And what's the zip code? Were you looking for the unit to be located at?
It would be 84009.
Okay. And that's in South Jordan, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, give me one moment.
All right.
And roughly how many people are you expecting at your event as well?
About 500 is the plan.
Okay. Are you? What about hand washing needs? Are you looking to provide any sinks or maybe any sinks or any hand sanitizers inside of the unit?
Ooh, I like the idea of hand sanitizers. That sounds cool. Is that a possibility?
Okay. That's a possibility for you as well.
All right.
Give me just one moment.
All right.
Okay, and then lastly, we also have available, it's called a damage waiver. Now, the damage waiver will protect the units if it's destroyed, damaged, graffiti, or has weather damage. It's additional $7.95 per unit. Are you looking for the damage waiver as well?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That makes sense to add that.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, Scott. So it looks like your pre-tax total is going to come to $526.73.
Oh, that's not bad. That's about $1 per person. That's not too bad.
Nope. And this is going to include for you the rental of the unit, your hand sanitizer, your damage waivers, delivery and pickup, and a local in your 12.9 energy environmental compliance charge. I'd like to also share with you as well all of our service technicians are safety trained, drug tested, and background checked before coming to your property. And it's going to be the local, Ogden Yard is going to be making that delivery for you as well.
All right.
And based on 500 people, you know, I would really recommend you having five standard event units out there on site.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of. We don't want them all lined up fighting for that thing, do we?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. That's a good time. We've hung up on her now. So
you didn't see any of my questions. I was really.
You were sending me questions. Dang it! I missed them.
Esker, how much, roughly how much poop can one of those hold in cubic gallons? How many people could fit in one of those porta potties? Like just, maximum at
I
one
was,
time.
That was a really good question. I was mainly concerned with
will you be providing reading material?
I wanted to ask him what did it mean? What does it mean if when you say destroy the facility or whatever, or right. You know, any damage to it? I'm thinking, yeah. That's a broad definition, because I can think of a couple of people who might come to this event who could, quote unquote, destroy your portable toilet.
I will destroy that.
Yeah. So anyway, well, that's I was very curious about that. So it works, everybody. 1-800-TOILETS. Get it for your next outdoor event that doesn't exist today. It's Daryl time. All right.
Great.
Time to call Daryl. Let's get him in here.
How many cubic meters of poop could one of those hold?
You know, we could have asked.
There's
her.
A Mexican restaurant nearby. Do we need to get six?
You think one extra will do it? What's been your experience with Indian food? All right. Where are we? I don't know what we're doing. Oh, it's this. Here it is. All right. Please stand by for Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by.
Come listen to my several cubic meters of poop as part of the big Coverville countdown. It's all going on this month, the month of December, at coverville.com/radio. Listen to the best covers of 2015. Rate them from 1 to 5 stars, and you will be helping shape the results of the end of your countdown. The last 2 episodes of the year will be counting down your top 40 covers. That's all coming up on coverville.com/radio.
That's happening right now, right?
Like, right now. People can tune in right now, and I can tell you how many people are tuned in right now to Coverville Radio.
Okay.
Currently, yesterday at this time, I think there were 9. Mm-hmm. Currently, there are. Oh, this is a great radio. There we go. Currently, there's only 4 people listening.
Oh, so, there needs to be more of those people.
Yeah.
Let's increase that number.
Well, after this, show.
Losers. Users listening. It says 5 now. I didn't mean losers. How do you play? I'm on the site. Where do you hit play?
There's a listen now button.
There's a listen button. All right, here goes. We'll see what's on. Just going to check it out.
Okay. Rolling, keep rolling, rolling, rolling,
rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. I assume that's a Limp Bizkit.
You would think, but it's Unknown Legend featuring Shaky Graves doing, that's the name of the song. Unknown Legend with Shaky Graves performed by Shovels and Rope.
Oh, not
but rolling, 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 rolling. But it did sound rolling, like... Keep rolling, rolling,
yeah,
rolling.
Yeah, did to me. Weird. You sure that's the right one?
No, I'm not 100% sure because I don't know.
Beta.
I
mean, I'm looking at what it's on beta.
I'm looking at currently what's playing.
Yeah.
And that's what's currently playing.
If I hit
hit play again. Let's
hit play again. Can a diner
never saw a woman finer. There we go. So yeah, what I was saying. Right, Lounge Kittens was right before that, doing their cover of Roland by Limp Bizkit. There we go. And this one just started.
Okay.
So I was seeing what was coming up next.
So it probably has a, because there's a delay on the thing. I wonder if the thing comes up sooner than the delay on the music comes up or something.
Well, I see it on my screen probably a good 20 seconds before before it comes up here. So
all good. All good in love and war. Yeah. Daryl, are you there?
That poor lady that you called, she'd made a sale. She was probably really excited.
She'd already spent that commission.
Yeah, she gets to feed her kids.
Well,
now,
and see, then... that's why. See, okay, so if people want to know, I'm one of the worst prank callers on earth because I feel guilty.
Like, I know exactly.
Last night we were, I got to tell you this funny story. We were playing Heroes of the Storm, and it was me. I think Bo's in the chat room, so you'll hear this, but it was me, Bo, and John. And there's this thing going on where people are making a bunch of fake accounts to try to hurry up and get this vulture mount in the game. Long story, but. It's kind of a little bit of a nightmare, to be honest, but it's going on, and these guys are on these 2 fake accounts. Or John's not, but Bo is during this time. And Eric says, hey, you got room for one more? I said, yeah. So he adds me, and he's using a fake account too, so we bring him in. And he sees this fake account called Poopy Pants, who is actually Bo, and he says, oh, who's Poopy Pants? And we're like, oh, that's some fan of the show. So we make up this whole story that it's just some fan that joined the game, but it's really Bo the whole time, right? And Bo's on the call with us. But we're pretending like Bo's in a whole nother game someplace, but really he's right there with us playing this Poopy Pants guy. And during the game, he kept saying things like, Poopy Pants, my pants are poopy. And then he would say, he'd say, boy, this, but I can't remember Eric's character, but basically Eric sucks. He's the worst. I can't stand playing around him. Sorry, it's the truth. Like just being a total troll. But it's really Bo doing it in the room with us. But John and I are pretending like we think it's this fan doing it. And Eric's getting like all like, what the crap? Why would he say these things about me? Like Eric's getting reamed by this guy. And I was dying because inside I'm like, I hate practical jokes. I feel like I'm doing a terrible thing to a friend of mine. But I held out. Usually I'm the kind of guy that'll go, I'll go, hey, there's something on your face. Just kidding. Like I can't get just kidding out fast enough.
I'm worse because it's really hard for me not to laugh. So, I mean, I'd get on a call like you were just on. I'd say, yeah, so my wife takes forever in the bathroom every morning. Every morning she just takes forever. And so I'm going to see if I can get a porta potty to put on the front yard so that, well, actually, I think I'd make her use it and I'd use the bathroom inside the house.
Is that possible for you?
Is that something you think you could do?
Yeah, and you would laugh, though, in the middle of
that's
it.
That's the problem is that I would laugh. Yeah. I don't think I've got...
I am not a jerky boy, and I don't want to be one, really. But, yeah, I have no... I've got zero problem or, you know, there's nothing stopping me from calling a place and getting a price, you know?
Dr. Kosa says, don't believe him, Glory. It kind of was the crappy Picard gangster voice, wasn't it?
Yeah. But we did carry the ruse on for a while last night, and it was really funny because every time Bo would type something funny, then Bo would say, oh, man, why is he after you? But he would do it in this voice that sounded like he was on the verge of hysterical laughter.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. And eventually Eric figured it out. To Eric's credit, he figured it out over time. Anyway. What's the point? The point is Daryl's here. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd. It's a question about a Next Generation episode called Symbiosis. Do you know this one?
No.
Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
This is not Night Terrors.
No, this isn't. Yeah, finally. We're off Night Terrors, finally. Here's how it goes. The Enterprise rescues a crew of, the crew of a freighter. They bring the cargo of the ship on board as well. It turns out this cargo was a medicine that was once used to treat a plague.
It's a medicine.
For the plague from the Italian planet. However, after the plague was over, the medicine became a drug and the Brekkians became addicted to it. What medicine did they get hooked on? Do you remember this? I kind of do.
Now I do, yeah.
Yeah. The Brekkians, really? And why would the whole planet be addicted to it? That's weird.
Right. Well, if it was, you know, like the polio vaccine, let's say the polio vaccine was a really addictive substance.
Yeah. But
that means
you'd take more of it, though, right? You keep taking it?
Right, yeah, which is what these guys have done. It's a drug, and they become addicted to it.
I guess so. Anyway, when this is the drug's name, or one of these is, and you're going to have to decide which one it is. Is it inaprovaline?
Inaprovaline.
Is that right? Did
it's
I say it right?
It's not suitable for, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not suitable for intake. It's inaprovaline.
C. Felicium. I really liked her work on The Guild, and now she's doing
super talented
great things on the
Felicium
internet.
Felicium Day.
Yeah, yes. Felicium Day. She's great. Axonol. Axonol. Sounds like something
too real.
Spray
does
yourself.
Does your teenager smell like a nightclub?
You may need Axonol, yeah. And then finally, troposiline. Troposiline, right?
Troposiline. Tropozoline.
Sure. Inaprovaline, there you go. Felicium, Axonol, or
Tropozoline.
That's where the Pope says, you need to take my drugs. All right, so there's your options. You need to be
a medicine for the plague.
You need to think about those while we do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Grab your bags.
Oh, I've got it with both hands.
I got my bag with both hands. Daryl, your job is to reach inside of this giant bag of candy and pull out a mystery piece that is not one we've already had.
Right. If you pull out one that we have already eaten, then you must stick that piece of candy up your nose for the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I will, too. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Mixing. I got something. What is this? This is sour lemon.
Oh.
Sour lemon.
That's something after my own heart. I love me some sour lemon. Hold on. This one is sour.
Yep, it's
cherry.
Got the white or the yellow ends, right?
Sour mm-hmm. grape. Cool. Hold on, I'm finding everything but sour lemon. There it is.
It's a.
Oh, I haven't had one of these yet.
Silky, shiny white brick. With...
It's grandma candy, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, so I love lemon everything, as people were probably aware. If Donald J. Trump showed up right now to my house and had lemon on his face, I'd lick it off.
This looks like something I'd print on the 3D printer to test the nozzle.
Yeah, it kind of does. It's weirdly, it's got like that crisscrossy stuff and everything.
Yep.
Weird. Well, they have sugar extruders now, right? Isn't that a thing?
Yes. Yeah, you can. There's 3D printers that print candy.
That's crazy. All right, here we go. I'm sure this is good.
Doesn't smell like anything.
Smells like a lemon. Smells like a piece of soap, but it's not. Mmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's lemony.
That's good.
That's really good. I love candy like that. Because it has lemon flavor in it. I like lemon flavor.
Is that a lemon pledge kind of taste?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. It feels like you eat that and you feel like, man, somebody's furniture is shiny right now. Yeah, I like it. It's really good.
It is good.
Boy, Daryl really got the lip smacking going on today.
He does, Granny.
That was really enunciating the...
Some Foley work from Daryl every time.
Daryl, we need you to get in the booth and try to make it sound like an old lady eating some cheese. Can you do it? I sure can.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Those are really good. Thank you again for those. Who is it again, Brian? Do we know
the
name handy? Give him credit.
It's for... Buttress. Jeremy.
Jeremy Buttress. Oh, yeah, there it is. I got it, too. Thank you, Jeremy. Your buttress made me happy, whatever that means. All right, Daryl, let's give me this. How about a little today in Star Trek history?
Well, way back in 1952, Michael Dorn was born.
Mm. Oh, he seems so young for his age.
He does.
He does not age. He looks
he's
great.
Older than me.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's, we'll see, 52, what does that make him?
That makes him 63.
Yeah. He doesn't look 63, man.
No.
That's why I think if you're going to bring Worf back, or if you're going to bring any TNG character back for another run, he's the guy you could get away mm-hmm. with it with him.
Right.
I mean, yeah. that means in DS9 days, he was 40-something? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his 40s yeah. playing Worf. And in the movies. He can do it. Bring him back. Let's get Captain Worf on the bridge. Let's get some honor in that bridge, man. Let's get some honor. They are without honor right now, and they need some honor. So bring them on in. Daryl, good job. There you go. Happy birthday to Worf. He's the man. I like that guy a lot. Is he still pushing for his own series? Wasn't that a thing for a long time?
He was. I think he might have given up on it now.
Mm. Do you think he's... I mean, he would be interested in any... I mean, if somebody said to him, okay, this new series we're starting... You're going to be the 2-hour premiere version of McCoy, where you show up in the hallway and talk for a second. You're right. Going to be this
the
old
baton, the person who hands off the baton to the new crew.
Yeah,
basically.
I could see that happening, and he would be willing. I would think.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and who else are you going to have do it? You can't have Data, because Data is before now. Go watch Nemesis if you want to know what I mean. Right. And then everyone else is too, like Riker. I love Frakes, but he doesn't look Rikery anymore.
Oh no,
he looks disheveled.
I'd have Guinan do it.
Guinan could do it, yeah.
Yeah,
she hasn't aged much either. Mm-hmm. She's
and
weird.
Even if she has, it's okay because she's 900 years old or whatever.
That's right. Just shave her eyebrows, put a purple hat on, you're good. All set to go. All right, back to the back to life, back to reality. Here's the question you were given. It was about the symbiosis episode. It was about this freighter. They had this drug problem. The drug they were all on cured a disease, but they end up getting hooked on it. Which seems like, again, what were your drug trials like? When did you know they'd be addictive? Was it like were the doctors in charge going, you know, it's addictive as hell, but at least it'll wipe out the plague. We'll deal with the addiction later. Do you think that's what happened? Or was it a big surprise? Oh my! Everyone's addicted to the pill.
I mean, who knows? That is a thing that maybe they didn't know some of these things that we now know as addictive. Yeah. Sleeping pills, for example, things like that. Maybe we didn't know when we were doing drug trials here on Earth that those things would be addictive.
Yeah, but didn't we know that? I think even with sleeping pills, we knew they were addictive, or that you could become dependent. right? Didn't we know that? Like, so you would warn people and say, well, here, these will help you sleep, but don't take too many because they can be... Like, I feel like maybe in the 1800s when it's like, I made this from a rattlesnake and my own pee, and here you go, take it once a day, and then you didn't know what it would do. Mm-hmm. But, like, anything made in the modern era seems like it had some kind of trial, right?
Well, I think in this episode what it was one side was giving it to the other side to keep them addicted and just kind of enslaved.
Oh, right. That is what this is. You're right. Mm-hmm. It was their way of saying, yeah, you can survive, but you're beholden to us because now we have the drug and you have to get it from us.
Right. Yeah, and really they didn't need it the whole entire time. They just thought they did.
Yeah. And so you had a whole half of the planet that was basically going through the DTs constantly, and they didn't really need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this now. It's all coming back to me. Anyway, it was inoprovalene, yeah, that's right, mm-hmm. Felicium, axanol, or troposylene.
I'm not going to go through all these silly names. I'm just going to go right to what I think is the answer.
Yeah.
Because I kind of sort of remember it in the back of my brain. I think it's Felicium.
Felicium. Also, what's going on in the background there? Talking big business? What's going on?
You can hear him, yeah.
I don't know.
This sounds intense. Some negotiations going on. It's like,
I can't even understand it.
Should we give the pink slip to Jenny and the basement mailroom, or does Daryl?
Human resources.
Yeah, human resources, Jenny. Jenny and human resources, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That goes good with Janice and accounting. Yeah, and who's the comptroller? Daryl is. Daryl's the comptroller. All right.
So sometimes I'm a troller. But...
Not a comptroller.
The comp tricker.
I still don't know what a definition of it. You know what? We're using this opportunity to find out. Comptroller. Wikipedia has an article on what a comptroller is. I want to know the exact thing. Yeah. All right, here you go. A comptroller, since we mention it all the time, is a management-level position responsible for supervising the quality of accounting and financial reporting of an organization.
Wow.
The comptroller...
Janice's boss.
Yes, Janice's boss. Janice reports to comptroller Bill or whatever. The comptroller general, auditor general, or comptroller and auditor general... is in most Commonwealth countries the external auditor of the budget execution of a government or government-owned company. Typically, the independent institution headed by the Comptroller General is a member of the INTOSAI. In American government, the Comptroller effectively is the chief financial officer, so we call him the CFO here. But Comptroller is more of a European thing. That's interesting. All right. I enjoyed that little stroll into definition land.
Yay, we learned something.
We did.
Yeah.
Let's swing back to this land. Oh, why is Stumpa Trekner got this giant email in it? Hold on, I've screwed something up. There we go. I pasted something in there that shouldn't have been there. All right, so you said, wait, you jumped right to the answer or something.
Yeah, well, I think I did that.
What'd you say? I forgot now.
Felicium.
Oh, all right, let's find out if you're right.
Congratulations.
Perfect week so far.
You're a winner.
Monday through Wednesday. Can't keep Daryl down. It is correct. The drug is Felicium. They became addicted and withdrawal symptoms were so bad it made them think they had the plague again. Here's a clip of the stuff about the drug. So here you go.
What's the dosage? 0.01 milliliters. Very potent substance.
We've improved our distillation process over the years.
In my grandfather's day, the same amount of Felicium would have filled 5 rooms this size.
But now with our improved processes, this one barrel contains over 4 billion doses.
I would estimate 4,375,000,000.
Thank you, Mr. Data.
By the way, I think that's Ray Wise back there talking.
Oh, really?
I think so.
The Reaper himself?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
And Laura Palmer's dad?
Laura Palmer's dad, yeah, that guy. And Swamp Thing. He was Swamp Thing. Remember that?
Well... That's right. I guess he was.
In that terrible film sack movie.
He was.
He played the Swamp Thing. He was a man
the thing
for very...
The was one in the swamp.
Yeah, yeah. But he was only Ray Wise for like 10 minutes. And then he was giant Swamp Man after that.
Swamp Man.
Swamp Man. Good job, Daryl. You did it 3 days in a row. That's pretty damn good. Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there or at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now, why don't you play a game with us where we try to get stumped by you?
Yes, and your record this week is absolutely terrible. Let's see if we can keep that going.
All right.
Thanks.
Sure.
Will this quote be from Wesley Crusher or Wesley Snipes?
Here's a theme.
So Willie Nelson looks like he should be vacuumed.
Willie Nelson looks like he should be vacuumed.
It's so true.
Yeah, it is really true. Okay, so Wesley Snipe or Wesley Crusher. Tax evasion artist Wesley Snipe or young actor Will Wheaton playing Wesley Crusher. Go.
Did you put an S on the end of Wesley Snipe?
No.
Because it's Snipes.
Snipes?
It is Snipes.
I always think it's Wesley Snipe. Isn't it just Snipe?
No,
it's he's plural.
Oh, he is plural.
Yeah.
Well, he's one, but his name is
You're
plural.
Thinking, don't confuse him with Professor Snape.
Professor Snipe?
Wesley Snape. Always bet on black, Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. All right, go ahead.
I like science fiction and physics, things like that. Planets being sucked into black holes and the various vortexes that create possibility and what happens on the other side of the black hole.
Always bet on the black hole. I don't know, man.
I mean, it could be either one of them. You could easily, you know, obviously Wesley Crusher or Will Wheaton saying that seems obvious, but you could see Wesley Snipes saying that he, you know, that's the part of astronomy that he really likes.
Okay. The interesting bit about this is you say it's Wesley Crusher or Wesley Snipes with an S.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
One is a character that would say that in character. The other is a dude.
Well, but Daryl's already said that he doesn't do the thing where, you know, if it's, he doesn't differentiate between actor or character for this yeah. segment.
I think you should. I think you should because it's weird, right? Because Wesley Snipes would never say that as the character of, you know, Blade, the zombie hunter, right? Or no, vampire hunter, sorry.
Right, Blade,
before,
yeah.
Before I get emails. The first great Marvel movie, by the way. I think
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Think about it. What are there? Nothing else before that?
The first good Marvel movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I wouldn't call it great.
Yeah.
It was good.
I'm with you there. That's true. Yeah. But they had that great New Order song at the beginning that was like a weird remix, like techno thing.
Right. Oh. And Brad, who's the head vampire? Brad Dourif?
Yeah. The Dourif guy. One he shows his wiener a lot when he's in other movies. Not in that one, though. I've seen him.
Glad you know that.
I've seen two movies.
You're like the Mr. Skin of Man Wiener.
I've seen two movies I couldn't even recall.
Like Mrs. Skin.
Where his wiener's out. Yeah, I'm Mrs. Skin. His wiener's always out. You know who else's wiener's out? That Skarsgård guy. You know the guy I'm talking about? Yeah. Peter Skarsgård. Is that his name?
Yeah.
His wiener's always out.
He doesn't have a problem with that.
No, he's fine with it. Not. I think he may seek it out even.
Fassbender.
Yeah, Fassbender's like, he likes, well, he only had the one where his wiener was out. Oh, right? The one where he was addicted to porn or whatever?
Oh, I thought he did in, who was,
was it Magneto?
Man, no, it wasn't as Magneto. I thought he did in another movie too. Who was, who played, Dr. Manhattan?
Oh, right. But I don't think they modeled it after his wiener. I think that was a 3D, that was a CGI fake wiener.
Oh, really? He didn't have like a little white ping pong ball taped to his wiener when they were doing the mocap?
I could be wrong, but I swear when I watched the video or when I watched the behind the scenes stuff, he's wearing a black mocap suit and his wiener's nowhere to be seen.
Okay. All right.
So I think they independently, somebody, some poor sap at ILM or whatever had to animate a giant blue wiener. Think of that job. Ugh, that would not be a job I'd want.
Let's get to that. Let's answer.
Anyway, let's answer the question.
Question.
Yeah, let's get to dog spurt. All right, go ahead, Daryl.
No, we haven't answered yet.
Oh, well, sorry, we're answering.
Let's say Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, we say Wesley Snipes. Why not?
Well, you've come to the. Oh wait, no, it's not the end of the week. You have one more chance.
Yeah.
But you're right anyway, so you've done it.
Yay!
Wesley Snipes.
Nice. I still can't. I got blue wiener on the brain. I can't even remember what the question was.
Massive wiener.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Appreciate it, buddy.
That closes things up nicely.
Really cleaned it all up.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
Keymailer. Whether you're a casual streamer or a YouTube superstar, Keymailer makes it easy for content creators to request and receive keys for Steam games to showcase on their channels. Go to keymailer.co and sign up now.
Would you put that on your resume that I animated a big blue wiener?
Like, sure.
Would you?
Sure. Okay. Was responsible for accurate swinging technologies for the giant Dr. Manhattan wiener in The Watchmen.
I mean, it was impressive for what it was, but I wouldn't want to be him. Anyway, ABC, you know, the American Broadcasting Company.
Yes.
I've
heard of them.
Yeah, they're a thing. They've been around for a while. They're remaking Dirty Dancing, but they're doing it as a three-hour TV, not miniseries, not TV show, right. Not series, a three-hour event.
One of those live musicals like they did with Peter Pan and The Wiz most recently. And
did you see The Wiz at all?
No.
I heard it was really good, actually.
I saw the Saturday Night Live send up of it.
Oh, did they do that? Funny, I missed it. I haven't seen the SNL and I can't tell you how long.
I know you haven't.
I'm mad at them for letting Trump come on their show.
Oh, whatever.
Why don't you just let them all come on? Well, I guess he lets.
Well, legally, they would have to. I think NBC had to do something.
They
with
have
all the other
to,
candidates
they have to do it? Oh, because if they let one on, right.
Right,
right, yeah, right, right. Right.
Once somebody's. I don't know at what point, you know, if they just announce that they're in the running, if that's the point at which any screen time you give to one, you have to give equal time to the others.
You can't really have Ted Cruz on. He's not funny.
No. And that doesn't have to be Saturday Night Live. It could just be anything on NBC.
Oh, that's the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Hold on now. So there's a thing in place that says we got to give network time to various candidates. So, hey, one of them's going to be Trump on SNL. That's the thing they do and decide to do.
It's the other way around. So if SNL says, all right, we've got Trump, then NBC has to figure out a way to do equal screen time for the other candidates.
Oh, interesting.
And he had and that was a deal, actually. They figured out that he was on screen for 11 minutes or something.
Oh, that was all?
Yeah, because he wasn't in Weekend Update. He wasn't, here it is right here. NBC affiliates file equal time notices for Donald Trump's screen time during his hosting gig on SNL. If a broadcast station gives one candidate airtime in anything other than a newscast or news interview program, the other candidates shall be afforded equal opportunity.
Oh, weird.
So Marco Rubio or Ben Carson. But I wanted to see how much time. Let's see.
I want it to all be on other shows that are weird to have them on.
Ben Carson on The Biggest Loser.
Yes. And, yes. The Voice
Marco
tonight.
Marco Rubio on the Voice.
Yeah, Marco Rubio on The Voice, judging voice singers. Like that. That's a great idea.
I really like that.
Or have one sneak into a sitcom that's popular over there. Is there one? I don't know if NBC even has one now.
Here we go. 12 minutes and 5 seconds exactly of screen time is what NBC clocked Donald Trump's screen time as.
But what if your screen time, I don't know what it was that I didn't see it, but let's say let's say they give some screen time. Let's say they say, all right, Ted Cruz, you get your 12 minutes now and it's going to be on, I don't know, whatever channel or whatever show.
Yeah, that's the thing. It can't be on a news program or a news interview, right? It would have to be.
Like the Tonight Show or like.
Tonight Show would be probably a good example.
So when he was on Letterman.
Stream Home Makeover.
When he was on Colbert, did that count also for his screen time?
When what? Say again?
When Trump was on Colbert the other week, whatever it
was. Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the other candidates could say we want some equal time on Comedy Central, sure.
Weird.
He's on
CBS or ABC now, or CBS. I'm talking about the new...
Oh, Colbert, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Dave's old spot.
Right. Yeah, so easily that could be the situation. When Hillary was on SNL, she was in a skit with Kate McKinnon where she was playing a bartender. And Kate McKinnon was playing Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. They calculated that she had 3 minutes, 12 seconds of airtime, saying that any of the other candidates like, Bernie Sanders, Lincoln Chafee, Larry Lessig mm-hmm. could have also requested equal time.
Lessig dropped out, right? He's out now.
Yeah. Lessig and both Lincoln Chafee and Lawrence Lessig dropped out.
Chafee. Does anyone remember Chafee at all?
Nope.
Get some talcum powder for Chafee.
I'll take care of it right away.
He's out of there. Well, anyway, Dirty Dancing. That's coming back. They're doing a live musical dance-infused thing.
starring Abigail Breslin and Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, you're not wrong about the Abigail Breslin. Little Miss Sunshine, Scream Queen star Abigail Breslin will take the role of Baby in the remake of the 87 classic. Oh, are we going to call it a classic now? Is that what we're doing?
Has enough time passed that we can call this a classic?
Well, is it even a good enough thing? I don't even care about time so much.
I think it's considered a classic. It's.
A classic of what, though? Like, to who? Like, where? In what world do we live where this is a classic? Look, I know it mattered to a lot of people in 87.
Well, what's the time frame? Because when you and I were growing up,
yeah,
the oldies stations played music from the 50s and 60s, right? Mm-hmm. And that was 20 years earlier than when we...
Yeah, but it wasn't just based on time. It was Elvis made this song that was huge and popular and awesome. So it's great and it holds up and it's a classic, therefore. It's
And I would argue that Dirty Dancing was popular enough and long enough ago that to some people it could be considered a classic.
Well, that I don't doubt. To some people, absolutely, this seems like a classic. You know, there clowns, crazy clowns from Murderous Clowns from Outer Space or whatever the hell it was called.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Yeah, that's a classic to somebody.
Well, sure.
You know, like... The worst Rocky film is a classic to somebody. Like, I get that. I'm just, it's not good. It's a bad movie. I am the time of my life.
The music is cheesy. And, you know, Eric Carmen and Hungry Eyes and the dance montage where he's trying to lift her up. It's a
never felt this way before. And didn't he at some point? This is right before she got her nose job, right? So this is the last time Jennifer Grey looked like Jennifer Grey.
Well, it was one of the last times. I mean, it was like mid-90s when she did that TV show called It's Like You Know.
Good point.
And
see, Patrick's. I'd say Roadhouse. I'd call Roadhouse and Point Break a classic before I'd call Little Miss Sunshine. Dude, I'd call Ghost a classic before I'd say that.
I would Dirty consider Dancing that classic as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know about Dirty Dancing, dude.
Let's see. Dictionary.com. I'm going to do a, it's like I'm at a trade show.
Yeah.
I'm doing a keynote speech.
Yeah.
Dictionary.com defines the word classic as of the highest or first quality, class or rank, serving as a standard, model or guide.
Yep. Ain't this movie.
Yeah.
There are other movies I would put above this, even dance ones. I'd say Flashdance is more of a classic in the genre.
Here we go. Number seven, definition number seven is of enduring interest, quality, or style. It has an enduring interest.
Does it have an enduring quality?
Or style? It has an enduring quality, sure.
How about style? Does it endure?
We
all running around going,
Kulaks and shirts unbuttoned down to here.
I hate that song so much.
I had to play that at weddings, yeah.
Really? At weddings?
At weddings, yeah.
Oh, shit. That's terrible. All right, well, anyway.
Really bad.
Looking forward to that. That'll be, they don't give a date, but it's coming, so watch for that. ABC. Catch it. Donald Trump says he thinks Bill Gates can close up the internet. He walked into...
You know, I've talked to Bill Gates. He's a nice guy. He's a very nice guy. He's into some philanthropy things like me. He doesn't have quite as much money as me.
A lot more money than he'll ever have.
Yeah.
And he earned every damn dime of it. Right. When Bill Gates walked into Donald Trump's office, Donald Trump said...
Why are you here?
And then he went on to close down the internet. Anyway...
Boom bong made the internet...
It's this article on Boing Boing, which is very left-leaning, Boing Boing is. So take that for what it's worth. It's not surprising that Donald Trump thinks censoring the internet is a great idea. I guess it's no surprise that he thinks Bill Gates has his finger above the kill switch either. Trump says he can call Bill Gates and have him close up the internet. Quote, we're losing a lot of people because of the internet. We have to see Bill Gates and a lot of different people that really understand what's happening. We have to talk to them about maybe in certain areas closing that internet up in some ways. Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Seal up some of those tubes, right?
You know what? I'm almost done being irritated. I'm back to being entertained ridiculously because he's starting to lose it. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
Right. We need to close up parts of the internet.
Bill Gates, you could even say, listen, somebody could get up and say an inflammatory thing like, we need to close down parts of the internet, which is an inflammatory thing to say, but then say, we need to get Bill Gates to do it, is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, Bill Gates is the guy who makes the internet.
Right, exactly.
Or like anyone is. That's the whole point of the internet, you jackass. He's such a jackass.
Surprised he didn't say Al Gore.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, he invented it.
The inventor of the internet, Al Gore.
Call him. You gave him a bunch of campaign money back in 2000. Call him. He's your buddy.
Right.
Anyway,
great stuff.
These foolish people. Oh, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. These foolish people. All the foolish people that say freedom of speech. You know, the ones that make it possible for you to get up and say dumb shit.
Right.
You know, those that kind of freedom of speech, you dumbass. All right, finally.
It's just a couple amendments off of right to bear arms. Careful there, Trumpy.
Hey, Trumpy boy. Yeah, we need to ban the internet. It's getting people killed.
Yeah, we're losing. I like that line. We're losing a lot of people because of the internet. Well, let's stop and just explain that sentence first before we go to any Bill Gates or anything. How are we losing people because of the internet?
And hey, Brian, the internet doesn't kill people. People kill people.
Right.
All right. What all else? Right. George Lucas. He has seen Star Wars: The Force Awakens. That's your episode 7 there. And he has a verdict. He told Vulture magazine this. Now, are you before looking or glancing down, do you think he liked it or did not like it? What do you think?
I think regardless of whether he liked it or not, he's going to say he liked
it. So you think even if he didn't like it, he'll say he liked it?
I think so. Yeah, I think that he'd be foolish to say, even if he didn't like it, he'd be foolish to say so because he doesn't want to, he shouldn't be vilified, you know, like he'd so easily get vilified.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, well, it would just be people once again piling up on him. He just doesn't need that.
Right, exactly.
Of course he doesn't like it. It's a great movie. No wonder he doesn't like it. Yeah. He likes Jar Jar.
He likes Jar Jar Binks and having Han Solo walk over a CGI Jabba the Hutt.
Well, anyway, here's the deal. He says this. He says, I think the fans are going to love it. Oh, that's an interesting way to say it. It's very much the kind of movie they've been looking for. Oh, what a guarded way to say they didn't like what I was doing. Not, yeah, right? They didn't like what I was proposing later on.
I think the fans are going to love it. It's very much the kind of movie they've all been looking for. Unlike the shit I've been doing.
Lucas recently talked to Vanity Fair about he and Disney going their separate ways when the studio was not interested in the direction he wanted to take the saga. Quote, the issue was ultimately they looked at the stories and said, we want to make something for the fans. People don't actually realize it's actually a soap opera, and it's about family problems. It's not about spaceships. So they decided they didn't want to use those stories. They decided they were going to do their own thing, so I decided, fine. I still think he's a little bitter. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he seems to... That was before, but now he's saying, he liked it.
It still sounds a little bitter there, though.
Yeah, I think he's bitter. Yeah. He's bitter like a what's a bitter thing?
Movies aren't about spaceships.
He's the bitterest little pill.
and who did that song?
Hold on. Bitterest Pill. That's a Dan Class podcast.
It is.
The Jagged Little Pill is Alanis Morissette.
That is correct.
Isn't it ironic? No, it isn't ironic. Rain on Your Wedding Day is just pure happenstance.
It's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
Isn't it a bummer?
But it's not ironic.
Right.
I'm still mad about that all these years later. It's like that whole song is about things that are not ironic.
Let it go. Let it go.
Do you want to build a snowman? Finally in the news, maybe my favorite story of the day, and it's in the holiday spirit that we share with you now. A newspaper says, it's sorry after publishing an obit for Santa Claus. They said Santa Claus died, and he didn't. A newspaper in Norway says it's sorry after it published this obituary featuring the death of Santa Claus. Aftenposten. Hold on. Aftenposten. Is that right?
Aftenposten.
All right.
Yes.
One of Norway's biggest newspapers and the
all
worst.
All the nudes that's fit to posten.
Yeah. I can't. I'm just trying to imagine all the newspaper tropes applied to that for some reason. Like a kid going... Extra, extra. Read all of the postings.
York, read all about it.
York.
Yes, that's Swedish. We know.
Anyway, after Poston later came out with a statement. Oh, he said that he died, by the way, at the ripe old age of 226 years old. came out with a statement saying rumors of Santa's death had been greatly exaggerated. The newspaper blamed the obituary on a mistake in its internal processes and said it was investigating what happened.
Wow.
Quote, after Poston has strict guidelines for both the content and the use of symbols in our obituaries, the statement said, according to the translation, this ad is a violation of these and should never have been published. The newspaper removed the ad as soon as it learned about it. I still think there's a missing link there. Who the hell put it in there then?
Right. Some disgruntled employee said,
I'll teach them. I'm going to get them in trouble. I'm going to put that Santa's dead.
Yeah.
They're going to have to hire an ombudsman to, to deal with all the angry people.
Ombudsman.
That's the guy who...
he goes to lunch with the comptroller, right?
He does.
Anyway, there you go. So Santa is not dead. Everyone rejoice and forget all the rumors you heard. Let's take a break. When we come back, it is Recommendals time with Nicole Spagnolo. After that, Tom's Tech Time. We do have an email I think is of great interest to anyone worried about ducks and dogs from an actual ornithologist. So our listeners are the best.
Of interest to people with ducks or dogs or...
And as we know...
I was going Casey Kasem.
Oh, all right. Yeah, those two are hard to separate.
It's not bad.
Let's take a break. I already told you what will happen when we get back. Brian, you got music for the break?
I do. All right, Gary, Senior Geek Fisher wrote in, said, hi, S word and B word. No particular reason. I just like the double clicks. And as far as I know, this is their only cover. Play this anytime. No urgency. And then he says, shamelessly plug the land, though, Gary.
Mm. All right.
I added that last bit. He said, insert something witty that rhymes with love the show, though.
That was pretty good.
It was close. Yeah. It doesn't, land doesn't rhyme with show, sadly. But
I like it.
All right. You wanted to hear the Double Clicks cover of The Middle, which was originally done by Jimmy Eat World. This is cute, and it's lovely, and wish they would have done this when they performed at Nerdtacular a couple of years ago. But you can find it right now on their brand new album, President Snakes. And yes, this cover does qualify for the Coverville Countdown. It came out in 2015, so go listen to it and vote. The Middle by The Double Clicks.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can. And don't you worry what they tell themselves when you're away. It just takes some time, little girl. You're in the middle of the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be all right. You know they're all the same. You know you're doing better on your own. So don't buy in. Live right now. Yeah, just be yourself. It doesn't matter if it's good enough for someone else. It just takes some time, little girl, you're in the middle of the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be alright. Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked
years ago, I was a minuscule kid in Taiwan. I walked 10 miles to school, so I left my house at dawn.
Jerkwater, USA.
From Hell's Heart, I podcast at thee. This is the Morning Stream.
Oh, and we're back. That was a sweet little version of that song.
Yeah, super cute.
Yeah, they're good at that. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. That's on their new album, then?
That's on President's Snake's brand new album from the Double Clicks. Pick it up today.
Grab it. Catch
it. And buy a cat keyboard with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They do that, don't they? Don't they sell those? They have something like that.
They have affiliate links to where you can buy your own.
Oh, all right. That's what it was. I knew I saw something on the site.
There's no Double Clicks branded cat keyboard.
Oh. Well, then we're doing it wrong. Then we're terrible people. All right. It is it's Nicole time. This is where we call her. We do a little recommendal time with one another. And we'll see how that goes. Hold on a second. There's a great GIF I just retweeted you should probably look at.
That's, oh, yes, the one of...
Trump being terrified by an eagle. That's pretty great.
Is he terrified by it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nice. I love it.
My joke was, for reals, that thing will bite your head off and eat it. Oh. The eagle, I mean. Ha ha. Little joke there, everybody. Little joke. All right, let's get Nicole in here. Let's do what we do.
I think we should deport eagles.
Whoa. Is that the new Trump voice? Do that one again. I wasn't ready for that. That's an interesting
take. I don't know where that voice came from. It was not a...
We need the deport eagles.
We need to deport eagles. Oy vey. I'm trying to appeal to the Jewish coalition here. Oy vey.
Could be good. In Twitter, while we wait for Nicole, said, Blue Wiener Guy, Dr. Manhattan, was played by Patrick Wilson as Lou Sulverson on Fargo. So this season of Fargo, I guess, features Blue Wiener Man from that show. Yeah, because we were just talking about that. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, just talk about things. Okay, well, what are you guys talking about? I don't know. I'm reading some tweets. Oh, that's fine. Whatever. Yeah, I don't need Trump supporters telling me things. While we wait for Nicole, how about one of these? Let's check this out. Yeah, it begins. It says, "What does it say?" What begins? It says.
You're talking about it.
I won't bring the name up. It says Scott Johnson can't. It says, wait. Oh, gosh. Freaking so loud. It says 35 days, 20 hours, 25 minutes, 0.7 seconds until Scott Johnson can talk about beep.
Yeah. By the way, Billy Crudup played Dr. Manhattan. Patrick Wilson was Night Owl.
Oh.
Is he getting it on the Owl?
Oh, Night Owl. That's right. What was the song again that was playing?
It was Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Hallelujah. We're in a giant owl head.
And I'm doing ya. And I'm doing ya.
Nicole, she no answer. I don't know why she no answer. That's awesome. You need to...
I think there needs... Yeah, that...
We need to do a cut of that film where that's what we do.
Where that's the song playing, yeah.
I get no Nicole. I don't know why. Let's see.
And I'm doing ya.
It's an awkward scene.
It really is. Yeah. It's just an awkward choice of music. And that scene just feels like it goes on just about a couple minutes too long.
Billy Crudup. Is that the other guy?
Yeah. He's Dr. Manhattan.
Crudup. Here he is. That's a horrible name, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Oh, there he is. All right. He's older than us. He is William Gatherer Crudup. I'm trying to see if he showed his blue wiener or not. Let's see. Nope. Doesn't
Crudup.
Say.
Crudup.
Crudup, not Crudup.
Crudup. I mean,
you can see my confusion, though.
Sure, sure.
Billy Crudup.
According to the link I just provided you in the Skype, it's how to pronounce Billy Crudup.
Okay, let's play a link. Here we go. Check it out.
They really are working hard to make these videos more entertaining.
Yeah, that big swirl at the beginning.
Yes.
Billy Crudup.
Well, who do they have do it? Let's hear it again.
Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup.
Crudup. This is what I'm trying to say. Okay, how about this one? Oh, these are terrible with the fade-ins.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
No. Troy and Belisario.
What?
Oh. Troy and Belisario. That's
is that a person?
Don Belisario's daughter.
Do you know how to spell... Jared Leto or Leto? Do you know if it's Leto or Leto?
It's Leto. Jared Leto.
Let's find out from the swirly vision. Then I'm going to skip ahead on. Oh, it goes like 10 seconds in. Okay, Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
Oh, you're right. It's Leto.
Yep.
All right. How about Jessica Lange?
Oh, how about...
give me a name.
Who's one that we... That there's not debate on, but... Shoot.
Chipotle. No?
Sure.
I can give you that one.
Give us that one, but there's...
I guarantee it's not the way Eric does it, which is Chipotle. What was it?
Sean Tootle.
That guy.
I love that, that we finally got favorite. To one of these.
He's my favorite.
Yes.
Sean Tootle.
Sean Tootle.
Would not surprise me if it's the same guy who does Bhutanese passport.
I can't find... Okay. Give me a name. Give me a hard name.
Charlize Theron.
Okay. Charlize. Here we go. How to pronounce Charlize Theron. Well, she speaks Afrikaans because she grew up there.
How do you actually pronounce your name?
Charlize Theron.
Whoa.
Wow.
Charlize Theron. Did you Charlize hear that? Theron. That was hot, dude. Here, yeah. Try it again. One more time.
How do you actually pronounce your name?
Listen, Piers Morgan, you're sitting in a weird chair and your butt looks funny. But then let's just continue.
Charlize Theron.
Ooh, that's hot.
I prefer that.
A game of Charlize Theron.
Say that again.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron. I mean, it's very moeilik om in Afrikaans te praat as daar net een persoon is wat Afrikaans praat.
And oh my gosh, I just want to freaking make out with her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't see Nicole, so you know what we're going to do? Because I haven't got an answer from her yet, is we're going to go ahead and just do our recommendals.
Okay.
Maybe something come up. So it's totally fine. We're easy here at the radio podcast show. Brian, I'm going to play, or why don't you do yours first? We always do yours first.
And I'll say really quickly, I did see The Very Merry Christmas, and it's streaming on Netflix. So if you're looking for a streaming recommendal, I recommend that. Be prepared. It's not going to be maybe what you expect, but. Just relax, let it wash over you, and enjoy it for what it is. And
just remember that it's a Sofia Coppola joint, and that may tell you all you need to know.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of awkwardness in it, and it needs to be. I mean, it's that natural awkwardness that you get with Bill Murray stuff like that.
Yeah, and her films are famous for that. So, right. and her films with him especially. So there you go.
So the audio clip I'm giving you to play is from a movie that we got via Netflix DVD. This is not streaming yet, as far as I know, but hopefully will be soon because. It's excellent.
Okay. Well, I'm all into excellence. Excellence in podcasting. Here it is. Right here.
Well, la-dee frickin' da!
My daughter asked me what was the best thing I've ever done in show business. And I said, on stage doing a motivational speaker with Chris Farley 8 times a week. No question. And nothing will ever come close.
Tell me there's a real Matt Foley? I did not know that. I did not know that. It's someone's unfortunate position to be like, oh, I'm on TV now.
My name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker.
He would often name or rename his characters at Second City after friends that he would spot in the audience. And in that case, the name just stuck.
So I'm guessing this is a documentary about someone.
It is, yes. It's about that's about Chris Farley. The show, the documentary biography is called I Am Chris Farley. And I didn't really hear anything about this, whether it was good or bad, before we rented. I just knew that I wanted to see it. Mm. And so when it arrived, we popped it into the PlayStation to watch it. And the first thing that comes up is Spike documentary. And then that kind of set up for me like, oh man. You know, like there's a little bit of worry, right? Like, it's a Spike documentary. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. The first third of it is talking with Chris Farley's brothers. He's got three other brothers. Mm-hmm. He was the middle child or one of the middle children. And his younger brother, Kevin Farley, is doing stand-up and sounds and looks a lot like Chris Farley with a beard.
Yeah.
His older brothers don't look at all like him, but they talk about him growing up and that he kind of always had this natural predilection towards comedy, was always really good at it, came naturally to him. And then they start getting into the SNL stuff, or actually they get into his improv days and the Groundlings and working with who you heard right there, Bob Odenkirk, Saul Goodman. And they talk with David Spade and Adam Sandler and John Lovitz and all of the people who are around that time, Mike Myers, a lot of Mike Myers, Christina Applegate, and talking about how on SNL, he didn't write a lot of stuff. He really only ever wrote one sketch called Puppy Lawyer.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes. But he always wanted to be in everybody else's sketches. And because of his popularity, because he was so popular with the audience and fans and stuff, they had to put him in. You know, they felt like, yeah, we've got to write a part for Farley to be in this sketch.
You
got to
wedge Farley into these, yeah.
And he apparently off screen was a madman when it came to pranks. You know, he was known for pulling his wiener out a lot.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. And then they talk about his addictions and his decline and stuff like that. They talk about Tommy Boy. And
this seems godly. Something I would totally eat up, this documentary.
I think you would. I think you'd really like it. I'm looking to see if it's streaming anywhere, and I can't see it.
Yeah, I even checked with my membership on docclub.com just now, which is all documentaries all the time, and I thought maybe they'd get it early, but they don't have it either. So
yeah, so keep an eye out for when it's streaming. But okay. In the meantime, if you have a disc subscription to Amazon, or you can, you know, obviously you can rent it on iTunes. You can rent it on Amazon streaming for like $2-3. It's cheap.
Probably do that.
Yeah, might as well do that. And yeah. It's really, really good. And you know, we don't talk about him as fondly as we do Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. You know, when we say that was a great comedian that was missed. But after seeing this, I'd rank him up there. Just seeing like all the stuff that he came up with, he was a comedy genius. He had a very specific style to him.
Yep.
That was really, really funny.
Taken too soon.
Yep, for sure.
Well, he took himself out too soon.
Took himself too soon, which is a far worse way to go.
I think it's sadder. Yep. Here's mine. Check this out. See if you can guess.
I want nothing. I have everything I need. I'm actually a very content person.
Oh, what a liar. You're so unhappy you can hardly breathe. And I feel it in every gesture and every silence. And I'm miserable. How can we both be in the marriage and I'm miserable and you're content?
Luck.
Now, here's what's funny. I've obviously read what you wrote in the show notes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I knew what it was. But I could have just as easily thought that was American Beauty.
Yeah, it's the beginnings of that movie are actually kind of self-serious. There's nothing about it that's super over the top or weird yet or dark funny yet.
Right.
But that comes pretty quick in the form of Dennis Leary, really. He's the one that brings the funny, and then things get crazy. The movie is The Ref. It's one of my favorite holiday movies that no one ever thinks about as a holiday movie. Mm-hmm. I was thinking we were doing holiday movies today. At least I think we were. But anyway, so I did one, and this is it. Cool. The whole story is, you know, what's his bucket? Leary is a cat burglar. He breaks in to the house and is forced to deal with these bickering, dysfunctional family types. and it's awesome. Ted Demme directed it. This is a director who was very interesting, did a lot of cool stuff, and then died at age 38, dead way too early. I was a big fan of what Ted Demme was laying down back in the day. Let's see, I'm trying to find all the movies he did. He did Blow. Remember Blow?
Mm-hmm. I remember Blow. Was that the Johnny Depp, right?
Yep. He did a Gun, a series of this episode, Gun. He did Homicide: Life on the Street episodes. He did The Ref, Who's the Man, No Cure for Cancer, don't know what that is, and Yo MTV Raps. That's where he started. Anyway, he was Ted Demme and his brother Jonathan Demme, I think. Is that right? Yeah. There are two directors and Jonathan mm-hmm. Demme's. Yeah. Anyway, he died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's my recommendation. Check it out. It's The Ref. It's on Netflix. It's very funny. It's very dark. If you like things like Bad Santa, for example, it's probably your kind of movie.
Yeah, it's not a Christmas. It's not a super touchy-feely Christmas movie. It is, you know, there's some stuff it gets to in the film.
But. Yeah, but it gets there in a very caustic, sarcastic, dark way.
Right.
Which is good if you need that in your life. So go check that out. The Ref, now available on Netflix streaming. Time to call Tom.
Sure.
Let's
hope he answers.
I hope he's around. Sheesh.
Tom shows up to this. Gosh.
What's going on? Probably pick up right away because that's how he does it, and I don't have his thing ready. Oh, there it is. It's under T.
With the computer, as with any tool.
I found it.
The concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt. He is on the line. He is with us, as he always is on Wednesdays, to talk about the technology news of the day, all ahead of a fantastic Daily Tech News show later this afternoon with myself and him and maybe a guest. I don't know who's coming on today. Is it just us? Just us.
Just us, man.
Oh.
You haven't asked anybody, have you?
No, I haven't asked anyone.
Me. I didn't ask anybody.
Ooh, it's the Tom and Scott train tonight, everybody.
Tom and Scott talk Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. What is it and how does it work?
Actually, no, we're not going to talk about how does it work, but have you been... Before I get to the Bitcoin, there is some Bitcoin to talk about, but it's not about how it works. Don't worry, folks. Don't shut off your players.
Oh, good.
Real quickly, you're going to see a bunch of news today about Yahoo selling itself or being sold or now all these crazy headlines. Here's the truth. Yahoo owns a bunch of stake in a very successful Chinese company called Alibaba, sometimes called the eBay of China, and they want to separate that stake of stock into a separate company.
Yeah.
Now, the plan was to just spin out what's called a holding company, and all that holding company would do is own Alibaba stock. It's kind of a weird financial thing.
Yeah.
And a certain number of shareholders, particularly one group, said that they didn't think the tax situation for doing that was very favorable. It was going to take Yahoo a long time to get clarification from the U.S. IRS, and so they pushed for them to do the opposite. So what's happening is essentially Yahoo is going to split into two companies, and just for tax reasons, the company that is currently Yahoo will be left only owning Alibaba stock. Mm.
And
they will spin everything else out
to its own new company. To its own, to a new company that will still be like the Tumblr, Flickr, Yahoo.com, exactly. Whatever.
It's kind of like the Alphabet thing. I mean, like, just similar in principle, right? Like, separating.
Yeah, it's a reorganization of a sort. There's a lot of financial who's-he-what's-it going on.
Yeah.
The one thing that is clear about this is that when you do it that way, the thing that you spin out has to reveal a lot more about itself, which can make itself more of a target for people to want to buy. Mm. If you want to sell something, like maybe Alibaba shares, that's a good thing. If you don't want to sell something, like maybe Yahoo, it's a bad thing. But so a lot of people are saying, oh, the shareholders want Yahoo to be sold off. They want it to be split up even more, which could possibly happen. So there's lots of things that could happen. And it's going to take a year for all of this to happen anyway.
Wow. So when you go to Yahoo.com, what am I actually going to after this all gets settled? Am I still
Yahoo.com? Man.
Okay, but if it's but if
Yahoo, first of all, none of this is going to happen for about a year.
But if Yahoo,
second of all, you're never going to notice,
right? But if Yahoo's the company, if it's the holding company now, that just seems weird that I'll still go there.
Here's what I guess happens: they spin out this new company. This new company gets to take the intellectual property to the name Yahoo. They get to call themselves Yahoo. They get a CEO named Marissa Mayer. And the original Yahoo changes its name to Alibaba Holding Company with a new CEO. And you, as a consumer, are never going to notice a thing.
Well,
until Verizon buys Yahoo or something crazy like that happens.
Well, okay. That all sounds good to me. Here's what I'm going to propose. That this is what Marissa Mayer will say once the sale is complete. There you go. That's what she says.
That's exactly what it's going to
say. She has the
like.
Best laugh in all of CEO-dom. I freaking love it.
Yes, she does.
All right. But this Bitcoin deal. I've been reading about somebody got raided or something bad happened.
Okay, yeah. This one's harder to simplify.
Yeah.
But remember when Newsweek said, we found Satoshi Nakamoto because we found a guy who used to be called Satoshi Nakamoto and he kind of does cryptography stuff. And then he sued them for making his life miserable because his house got surrounded by reporters.
Yeah.
Well, now we have Gizmodo and Wired both reporting that a trove of purported leaked emails and phone transcripts and such were given to them in November, seeming to indicate that a guy named Craig Wright, who is a computer science professional, he has several doctorates, he is very active in Bitcoin, owns a bunch of companies that trade in Bitcoin, and most specifically owns a holding company called Tulip that claims to own 1.1 million. Is it billion? Now I can't remember. It's a lot of Bitcoins.
Yeah, all the Bitcoins.
And it's exactly the same amount of Bitcoins that Satoshi Nakamoto, 1.1 million, that Satoshi Nakamoto is purported to have kept from the creation of Bitcoin, because you can see it out there on the blockchain. You can't see who owns it, but you can see that it's there and it's been there a long time. So everyone says, oh, that must be Nakamoto's cash.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are saying, oh, well, if he owns 1.1 million and there's 1.1, well, then maybe he and his friend who has since passed away, David Clymden, are the people who created Bitcoin. A lot of these emails seem to indicate that. A lot of it's circumstantial, but there are a couple of places where he says, you know, I'm tired of hiding my identity as Satoshi Nakamoto, et cetera, et cetera. They could be faked, though. Wired is a little more forthcoming about this than Gizmodo, about saying, like, we have no way to verify that these emails are real. Mm-hmm. But Gizmodo, Wired, and the New York Times apparently all got these troves of emails. And then, as you mentioned, Craig Wright's house in suburban Sydney got raided by the Australian tax authorities yesterday, mm-hmm. hours after these stories went live.
Yeah.
He had moved from that house last month, so he's not there. And a lot of the trove of emails that are linked are battles of him between with the Australian tax authorities about how to tax Bitcoin.
Wow.
So there's no smoking gun here. There's no proof. He could be. He's certainly smart enough to have been and has done enough research and published research to have possibly created Bitcoin with his friend Clymden.
Yeah.
He could also be somebody who's been engaged in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for a long time, was fighting with the tax authorities and needed a big old smokescreen right at a convenient time. Fusion even speculates maybe Craig Wright leaked these emails and faked them. Wired talks about some blog posts that seem to indicate he was going to post about Bitcoin on his personal blog and then deleted it, but then it's possible those posts were created much later. So it's all a fog of confusion.
So I'm trying to think what this reminds me of, and I think...
A William Gibson novel.
I think it reminds me of Bitcoin itself. I think that's what this reminds me of. And I guess I'm not trying to be alarmist or throw hyperbole in here or anything, but I have said for a couple of years now that Bitcoin's mystery of origin and dark web usage and all this stuff that goes on with Bitcoin will ultimately be a problem for its adoption as a mainstream cryptocurrency.
No, not at all.
You don't think so?
This will have nothing to do with Bitcoin's adoption as either a currency or a way to validate transactions. Because the thing about Bitcoin that is hard to understand is the math, and the math is solid. Mm-hmm. And I think you and most people have a hard time wrapping their heads around, well, how is this money? How can this possibly be money?
Yeah.
And it's not so much about it being money, it's about it being a validation of trust, because that's all money is.
Yeah.
I mean, I give you a green piece of paper here in the United States that has a one printed on it. Why do you accept that as something valuable?
Well, because you convinced me that the Monopoly man printed on one side of green paper was actual currency, and I believed you, Tom. I believed you.
Yeah, well, it's trust, right? It's trust that's hard to forge, and that there is a responsible entity printing them.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin actually has a much more solid way of doing that. And I think that's what's hard, is people are like, yeah, but I don't understand. And it's really hard to understand without getting into the details of the math. I don't even understand it entirely, but I understand the concept of cryptography and how it's able to validate things without revealing owners, which is why the blockchain that is used to validate transactions in Bitcoin is also being adapted for other uses involving contracts and things like that.
Right.
So whether this guy is or is not Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented Bitcoin, whether or not he is guilty of tax fraud, I don't think has any bearing on the success or failure of Bitcoin. Because it's long out of the barn. Satoshi Nakamoto, he or herself, has not been involved in Bitcoin for a long time.
Okay, so, but why the mystery, though? Why can't the person who made this thing up could just come out and go, it was me? Like, that's the part I don't understand. Like, if you're going to say, it's being adopted on the mainstream level, it's trusted, it's this, it's that, all these banking institutions are going to use the block thing and all that stuff's going to happen. I buy all of that, but I'm just trying to figure out why... Why the cloak and dagger on its origins? Why can't, why is it all about house raids and who posted what when? And is it really a guy named that or is another dude? Like, that's so weird to me.
Well, the house raids don't have anything with the mystery. There's a house raid on a guy that a lot of people suddenly think might be the guy. But that's just a side issue.
Right.
Your main question is, if I invent Bitcoin, mm-hmm. why would I want to keep that a secret?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I claim the credit? And there are lots of different answers. I mean, I can't tell you why the person who did it or persons who did it kept secret. But one of the reasons is if you're creating a system which itself is able to publicly validate transactions without revealing the parties to the transaction, one of the ways that you don't detract from that is you don't reveal who you are as the owner. It kind of lends it an air of credibility. Like, look, we're not even publicly revealing who we are that worked on it. Mm. So here you go. It's just a thing that works.
But you can see,
and let's take the personalities out of it and let's keep that secret.
But you can see how it seems not transparent to untrained eyes. I mean, it's easy to look at it and go,
but it could be worse if you knew who it was, right? And you start going into it and you start going, well, wait a minute, who is this guy and why is he doing Bitcoin? What's he get out of it? Mm. And he's got 1.1 million Bitcoins. Well, is he going to flood the market? And, you know, if you keep the personality out of it, people focus on the technology and not who the person is. It's the opposite of Steve Jobs.
Ah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really interesting.
Well, I guess we'll talk a bunch more about that today because that seems like a big topic. I'm checking all my regular tech blog sites and they're all flipping out about Bitcoin.
Yeah, definitely look at Wired, look at Gizmodo, look at Fusion, and look at The Guardian for the closest to the source stories about what's going on there.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. That happens today at 2:30 Mountain Time. That is live at diamondclub.tv, as well as, of course, on the podcast later. I'll be there. Tom will be there. Anything else happening you'd like to mention?
Well, let's see. I think I've run out of untransparent, hard-to-understand concepts for today. We've covered financial tax moves, Bitcoin. Let's talk about man in the middle attacks.
Well, let's talk about how I searched
Shell corporations.
Let's Seychelles. You guys are moving Frog Pants LLC to the Seychelles. Right?
Oh, of course we are. I'm moving it offshore to some oil rig. I was told that was the way to go. One thing I was going to say. What was it? I was just going to say about something. It was about something. Oh, Alibaba. I just want to make this comment. I went to search Alibaba for a. I was looking for somebody told me I could get a good stormtrooper. Full size, like actual size stormtrooper statue type thing.
Oh, cool.
And it was on the relative cheap, you know, maybe it was $500 or something, but it was, you know, hard to get anywhere else. And it might be a good thing to do. And so I went to look and I searched for those search terms and it came up with some lingerie sex doll from China. And that's all it was. But the description said, new stormtrooper outfit, episode 7 design. Alibaba's a mess. That's all I wanted to say.
I've heard this before. There is an art to searching Alibaba, apparently.
I do not know the art. I am out of the loop on that art. So anyway, just wanted to make that comment.
It's the Wild West over there, Scott.
It truly is.
Hey, but you know where it isn't the Wild West? The Crate Joy from Current Geek that helps support the show Current Geek, which also has Scott and I on it, and often Ibit, more often than not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the most common guest.
Anybody else, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're very excited about that. It means like special stuff you get in these crates every month, and they are unique and different every time. Special stuff from Tom, special stuff from me, stuff from guests, and all kinds of potential. I'm really jazzed about that whole thing. So people should go check that out. It's at frogpants.cratejoy.com.
Cratejoy.
Cratejoy.com. Everybody,
we're trying to create. With a crate.
Rah!
Your joy.
I like where you're coming from.
Do you?
All right there in the name.
I do. I really do.
Okay, good.
Greenville, Illinois. Tom Merritt, everybody. Stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you later this afternoon.
Thanks, y'all.
See you, man.
Greenville, Illinois. Got a text message from Nicole. It was bananas in the house this morning. She forgot about TMS.
Yeah, I saw the same text. I just got it as well. That's fine. Hey, banana house. I get it. It's fine.
Banana house.
Banana house. We'll get her next week. It's no big deal.
Yep. Exactly.
Let me read a quick email to you, and then we'll get the hell out of here. What the hell happened there? Okay, my browser just farted. Here's an email we got from Rocco in New York City. You think that's real, that name?
Sure.
I don't mean the city.
It may not be his given name. Hmm. It certainly could be a nickname, or maybe his, you know, it's a short for something else.
I like it. Yeah. Dear Swan and Booby. Sparrow and Bittern, Starling and Bunting, Swallow and Bush Tit. These are all birds, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially the Bush Tit.
Yes.
I was listening to your show about dog poop from Wednesday. This is very important. And thought I would try to add to the discussion. I am no... Oh, I said earlier he was one. I am no orthonologist. I guess that's a bird expert.
Yeah, ornithologist.
Ornithologist.
Yes.
What'd I say? Orthonologist?
Yes.
Damn it. But I'm currently working on my master's degree in evolutionary biology, so take my insights for what they are. Okay, you seem like a guy who's been studying. You know what's up. Scott, I do not think your initial reaction was too far off point. It sounds as though the duck population on your pond is starving. It's a lake, but yes. The weather in your part of the world has started to shift dramatically towards winter, resulting in a change in the two foraging domains for waterfowl. They cannot filter feed from the water itself because the ice is frozen over and cannot graze through the grassy lawns because snow cover and natural biotic die-off. You're right on both counts, except we're having a weird warm spell these last couple of days. And also, the lake is artificially warmed in the middle with bubblers that make it so they can go over there.
Really? Okay.
But they're just not. That's the part that's weird. Yeah.
We want our water here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's want it over there.
And there's no snow at the moment, but that's because it melted and there's probably more on its way. I'm probably going to get a ton this weekend. But here's the point. He goes on. Your dog, a female leader in the Terran Federation and Johnson household, Jim Raynor, probably has natural plant carbohydrates that she cannot digest included as part of her diet. Some ducks possess bacteria in their digestive system in combination with a crop/gizzard system to aid in mechanical breakdown. That allows them to extract nutrients from food that your dog, a canine naturally evolved on a different diet, cannot. So while it may seem gross, they are probably underutilized nutrients passed by your dog and that starving bird wants and needs.
Dog poop. It
this
does a duck's body good.
Isn't that great? I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
The more interesting topic is the effect of domestication you're witnessing. A problem here in New York as well. Human habitation includes changing the landscape of an area to suit your needs. For this lake is man-made, so you know there's a good example. Mm-hmm. For instance, your housing development gets a nice man-made lake with manicured lawns for walks and dogs and leaf crunching those shitty bees. at this time of year, those ducks and geese would normally bypass your area and head to Mexico for the winter. And by the way, lots of geese have.
Yeah.
It's the ducks who seem to stick around. The lake has created an area with swaths of sidewalk constantly being kept clear. Provides an unnatural habitat. These geese are basically living in a way that goes against their historical biology, and as a result, either need to adopt a frozen lake to a frozen lake area where they were not previously available against their historical biology, and as a result, or I just read that twice, or they'll freeze to death. Who knows? Maybe you're witnessing the natural selection of a new breed of duck that can survive these winters right before your eyes. Anyway, quack, 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 quack. Said in time to love the show, though. LOL, Rocco from New York City. Yeah, I love this kind of talk.
Totally.
Science, brother.
Scientific response to why do the ducks eat my dog poop?
And we're dicking with their natural thing, it seems like, a little bit. I mean, I'm not trying to be all hippie here, but, you know, these ducks seem a little lost to me. They seem like they're bumping around going, I don't know what's going on. What the hell's going on? I don't know. The geese, including Mendoza, seems to not be there. I don't know where he's at. He may have flown somewhere. So there you have it.
Hopefully he's still around, right?
If you have your own thoughts about ornithology, you can email us.
Ornithologists?
Yeah, please, any budding ornithologists out there, let us know. themorningstream@gmail.com. That is the email address he used. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. The website frogpants.com/TMS has all the links you'll need. And you can find us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. Let's leave the people with, I don't know, a happy heart, man. And how do you do that? Well, you dump a big load of music right in their fat lap.
Dump a big load of music. By the way, there is a Coverville today, 1 p.m. It was originally going to be Scott Weiland, a tribute to Scott Weiland, and then another tribute to the Monkees. Regardless of the fact that those two wouldn't seem to go together, it always seems to work out when you're dealing with covers anyway. I was looking through all the music I've got. I can't put together a better tribute to Scott Whelan than the Stone Temple Pilots cover story I did a couple of years back. So just do a search for Scott Whelan or Stone Temple Pilots cover story and you'll find it. I'll put a link. I put one on Twitter. I'll put another link on Twitter again if you want to find it. But so it'll just be a tribute to the Monkees, which works out better. I need a shorter show today because of a commitment I have later this afternoon.
No worries.
All right, let's play something for a listener. Dan wrote in, hi, Stellar and Binary. This week marks my first after having moved interstate. It's a big change going from the city to my girlfriend's family farm in the Australian outback, but I'll be glad that I don't have to keep driving 12 hours each way moving all of our stuff. Ugh. I was hoping you could play SR-71's cover of Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes in honor of my girlfriend. We've been together over 5 years now. She was my first girlfriend. I like to boast about my 100% success rate, and I can't wait to start this new adventure with her. As a backup, you could play the original version of 1985 as made famous by Bowling for Soup's awful bastardized cover. That one's a bit of a sore spot.
Just kidding.
I was trying to set it up so that you'd be on the ready for that.
I was ready.
Love you guys. Thanks for making those 12-hour drives fly by. Dan, now from Dunedoo, Australia.
Nice.
Dunedoo. SR-71's cover of In Your Eyes. This is a great one, and happy to play it for you. This comes from their album Here We Go Again from 2004, cover of the song by Peter Gabriel. Hoist up your boomboxes and join along with me. Here is SR-71 and In Your Eyes.
Do I have to roll my sleeves up of my overcoat thing?
You do, your trench coat, and stand with your legs slightly spread apart, hold up your boombox.
Do I have to have big high tops on?
You do.
Okay.
You do, and you need to wake up Ione Sky. Only works if we wake up Ione Sky.
Does the girl I'm trying to get with my musical talent, her dad is like Frasier's dad from Frasier?
Just like him, yeah.
Shit.
Kickboxing, huh? That's a thing.
All right, well then, fine. Let's play it. Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Come on back now for Therapy Thursday and the regular Thursday business. That'll be tomorrow. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you then.
Stay. execution for all my fruitless soldiers. I see the light at night.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Nothing is over! Nothing!
Nothing's over.